2020 is a year to remember.
Healthcare workers across the country gearing up for a potential second brutal wave of COVID-19.
Officer Derek Chauvin might have held his knee against his brother's
neck. Red flag warnings are going to continue through the day.
The economic catastrophe caused by COVID-19.
Facebook saying it is removing all QAnon-related pages.
And the 2020 election is no different. Now, to take you through the ins and outs of the 2020 election, here are Gail Fallon and Tanner Schwint.
Welcome in to Decision 2020. I am Tanner Schwint. Thanks for joining us on what has already been an incredibly active evening and quite possibly the most anticipated presidential election possibly ever. Excited to be with you here on this election Tuesday. Joined also by a good friend and colleague, Gail Fallon, Mornings with Gail host. Gail, things are starting off in a fury and numbers coming at us like crazy.
Oh man, it's like a roller coaster, and great to be working with you tonight, Tanner. Yeah, so just following, let's start at the top of the ticket. We are following AP reporting tonight, because you have to remember, some of the other networks are projecting winners and losers. Although, here's the one, Tanner, that really caught my attention right before we came on, before we get to the presidential race. Hickenlooper defeats Cory Gardner in the Colorado Senate race. They've already called it. It's only 7:06 on election night.
Yeah, and I mean, we knew in the polling, and we don't know how much to, you know, put stock in that polling, Gail. And like we were just talking,
guilty.
There's a lot of us that will, you know, mess with them and send different things back to them. So we didn't know how much to trust that. I would have to assume that that was a blow for the Gardner campaign. That it only lasted, you know, 6 minutes after the polls closed. I don't know if anybody was expecting it to be that quick.
No, I certainly wasn't. But meanwhile, what we know right now in the 2020 presidential race, President Trump with 92 electoral votes, Joe Biden with 119 electoral votes. President Trump, these states have already been called by AP, going for Trump: Indiana, Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota, Nebraska, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Mississippi, no surprises here, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, and South Carolina. On the blue side of the ticket, going for Joe Biden, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, New York, Vermont, Virginia, and New Mexico. So that's what we have now. Polls are closing in Arizona, Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin. So as soon as we have those details, will bring them to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of those, some very pivotal states, Gail, early on, I think the surprise, you know, we talked about it. AP has President Donald Trump leading the common vote, the general
the popular
election
vote.
Numbers, the popular
Do
vote.
You find any irony in that situation?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't after what took place in 2016, Gail. But I do want to throw this out there. As you've been telling me, I've been saying it to you. I said it on NoCo Now. I think you said it on Mornings with Gail. These numbers are going to come fast and furious, but we have to be patient, because like Florida looks great right now for President Donald Trump, but like we know, every vote will count down there, and we cannot get ahead of ourselves, especially with everything else that's gone on with 2020 and how people have voted and when they're being able to get in and vote and votes getting tallied. So I guess that's just a reminder to everybody out there, one way or the other, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican out there, got to hold your horses for just a little bit longer until these official numbers come in. That's what's going to matter, Gail. And we're seeing, again, like you said, these official early numbers have Joe Biden winning the Electoral College and the popular vote going to President Trump.
Now, regarding that Hickenlooper-Gardner race, and again, such a shocker that the results came in so early in the night. You got to remember this. The Senate is still 53-49, and Democrats would have to pick up three more seats to gain control of the Senate.
Right. They needed four to start the evening, and it looks like they have picked up one with, well, I guess we can call him now Senator Hickenlooper, which I know that sounds so strange to say as he's been all over, you know, all over the docket here in Colorado, Gail. And apparently that that same goofy charm, I guess we'll call it, that helped him win the governor position years back has stayed and resonated with the Colorado voters again.
Well, and you know, it's fascinating. I had pulled this piece a while back out of Complete Colorado, and it just amused me to no end. It was a piece by Dick Wadhams. Dick Wadhams is a GOP political consultant, former Colorado Republican state chairman. And well, let's just say that Dick Wadhams doesn't mince words. Headline: hard to find a worse candidate than John Hickenlooper, and it kind of says it all. But the one thing that did really catch my eye in this was when Dick Wadhams talked about how Hickenlooper proved his contempt for rural Colorado, once decried the backwards thinking in rural areas. Well, that arguably that's anywhere out of the Denver Boulder metro. He again snubbed Club 20, along with the Progressive 15, representing northeastern Colorado counties, Action 22, representing southern Colorado counties, when they proposed a rural Colorado debate be held in Alamosa. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, because that's something that we have been fighting for quite some time when you look at the ongoing oil and gas wars that show no sign of slowing anytime soon.
Well, and I was just going to say that, as again, you're listening to Decision 2020. I'm Tanner Schwint, host of NoCo Now, joined by Mornings with Gail host Gail Fallon. You mentioned the battle between rural Colorado and you know, the Denver metro area. We're seeing, you know, the sword sharpen, and it seems like the blue, the Democrats are getting a little bit more of a stronghold with such an early election call in favor of John Hickenlooper. A little bit, again, I think that's got to be a blow to not just the Gardner campaign, but to Republicans all across Colorado.
Now, as you noted in the open this morning, I mean, there's been a tremendous lead up to this. It's been a rough and tumble election season. I mean, it's fascinating when you think about what drove you to the polls. Was it COVID-19? Is it law and order, as we've seen so much unrest around the nation? Is it, you know, the kitchen table issues? Is it the economy, stupid, as they say? And what's fascinating, some of the exit polls that I'm already seeing is people saying, regardless of political stripe, I just want it to be over.
I think we're already for not only this election cycle to be over, but possibly for 2020 to be over as a whole, Gail. As we mentioned, polls closed here in Colorado. We've got some local elections that we are going to dive into as well. Some county commissioners that, as we noted, Gail, as we talked about earlier, Mike Freeman will again be a Weld County commissioner. His opponent was ineligible. We will
John Scholl. Yeah,
John Scholl was ineligible. We'll catch up with Commissioner Freeman at about 7:35. But some of these results will start to roll in here. What are some of these Weld County? Are there any really Weld County elections, Gail, that you're going to be keeping a close eye on?
Well, pretty much all of them, because I think that they are all really important when we look at the future, given the fact that, well, Colorado, once known as a red state, well, kind of went purple. Well, it is now distinctly tinged blue. So I think we need to hang on wherever we can hang on. And speaking of hanging on, when you look at Colorado Republicans around the state, what is their best hope for political relevance? Well, to retake control of the Senate this election. So again, following a number of races, because it is so important to the future, not only of Weld County, but indeed the entire state.
Well, Gail, I know we've talked a lot about these candidates and some of the elections coming up, but there's a lot of ballot measures on the statewide ballot too that we're going to be diving into. I mentioned in NoCo Now that I believe that the Gallagher Amendment, the repeal of the Gallagher Amendment, may have been one of of the most confusing amendments that I have ever read. I mean, you have to read through two or three times to make sure you know exactly what that is doing here. But that's going to be a hot button topic for this evening, too, coming out of the state ballot tonight.
Yeah, along with Proposition 113, that national popular vote compact. I mean, the way it is being sold is so deceptive. And, you know, mentioning the way these ballot initiatives were measured, I mentioned that, you know, the more confusing it was, the more you needed to be suspect of those, particularly when it came to Prop 113, the way that it was written. Prop 115, a hot button issue, prohibiting abortions after 22 weeks. That was a word salad like I have never, ever seen. But I'm with you on the repeal Gallagher amendment. It just seems to me that the legislature, and I voted no on that, it seems to me the legislature could come up with something better.
Right. And it, I mean, the wording on there, too, you talked about being suspect. And I think a lot of people fall into that same category, Gail, that if they are confused by it, they're more likely to vote no on it. Again, another one that I know a lot of people are watching closely is Proposition EE, the taxes on nicotine products.
And that's nothing. The way they're selling, oh, it's for the kids. But once again, it's a regressive tax.
Right. And I think another thing that a lot of people have forgotten about that, Gail, is that, you know, President Trump did raise the legal age at which you can buy nicotine products and tobacco products to 21. So, I mean, isn't that enough to deter saying it's for the kids? That was another interesting one. I know that it seems like every election cycle we see something pop up that says, hey, let's raise the taxes on, you know, this substance or this vice. And
sure.
This is this year's.
Yeah, it's the so-called sin tax because, well, you know, it's not popular. But you have to ask yourself in saying, well, that's not my particular vice. Well, maybe your particular vice will be the next one to be taxed.
Right, yeah. And I know a lot of people thought of it that way, too. So that'll be interesting. We'll keep you updated on all of that as well. 7:17 the time. I'll tell you what, let's take a break here, Gail. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll reload some of these numbers. And we should have the first installment of the Weld County numbers that should be coming our way in just a bit. This is Decision 2020. I am Tanner Schwint, Gail Fallon. We'll be back with you in just a mere couple of moments right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
On 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in Decision 2020. I am Tanner Schwint, host of NoCo Now, Mornings with Gail, host Gail Fallon, joining me as we start to roll forward and hopefully get some of these local election results in. Weld County was scheduled to release their first ones at 7:10. I think that's been delayed just a little bit, but it looks like it is possibly up by now. We'll get to that in just a bit, but let's continue to work through some of these other issues that Coloradoans saw on the ballot this year. And Gail, let's go to Amendment C and Amendment 76. Mm-hmm. Amendment C, the conduct of charitable gaming, and then Amendment 76, the citizenship qualification of voters. The reason that I lumped these two together, these are the only two initiatives on the ballot this year that will require a 55% vote to pass. Everything else, just a simple majority. Care to explain that to me, Gail?
Sure. You just have to take a look at the Colorado Constitution, because there are these little quirks in the Colorado Constitution. They're provisions. That's the formal term for them. But you notice that we've got amendments and propositions, right? When there's an amendment in play, under the Colorado Constitution, the passage of a constitutional amendment requires at least 55% of the votes cast, except, and of course there's always an exception to the rule, right?
You gotta love it.
Except when it is a repeal, and then it only takes a simple majority. That's why when you look at Amendment C and Amendment 76, they require at least 55% of the vote to pass. The remaining nine measures, they just require a simple majority.
Well, and I thought that was something to get out there and,
yeah,
and kind of get
cleared
up.
Because it is confusing.
It is. And mm-hmm. that was something that I was wondering as to why. But let's dive into that Amendment C a little bit here, Gail. Mm-hmm. Again, one that, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a hot button issue, so to say, for Colorado voters. It wasn't the thing that was getting the most talked about. But a little interesting with Amendment C talking about when nonprofits are able to start to conduct charitable gaming activities.
Sure. And I mean, really, I mean, we're going to go after a small nonprofit holding a raffle and say, no, you can't do that. It's gambling, and that rhymes with pee, and that rhymes with pool, and you know the whole thing. I'm sounding like Joe Biden now. You know the thing.
Come on, listen, folks.
Yeah, you know the thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. No, but basically, you know, you're going to tell a church they can't play bingo. I mean, or whatever the case may
be. Right, and they've got to be established for 5 years. That was a big thing it will be dropping that to 3 years, I believe. Is that correct? They only have to be operating in Colorado for 3 years to apply for a bingo raffle license. Permits these games to be conducted by workers who are not members of the organization, but they'll only be able to pay up to minimum wage as well. So Amendment C seemed pretty straightforward. I think that was one that a lot of people knew what they were getting into.
Yeah, it really does. And when you think about it, isn't that the insidious camel's nose under the tent? And really, government has better things to do, don't they?
Yeah, it was. I'm right there with you, Gail. I completely am right there with you on that one. Amendment 76. We talked about the confusing wording on some of these. This one seemed to be pretty straightforward. It read, "Shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution requiring that to be qualified to vote at any election, an individual must be a United States citizen." I think that's pretty straightforward.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. But then, of course, those that are against Amendment 76 basically says, oh, it's not fair. It leads to voter suppression, that it is divisive, and it's meant to shut down the vote. Didn't buy into that argument for one New York minute.
Yeah, you know what, Gail? I don't necessarily dive into a lot of where I think, too, but I think it's pretty straightforward. If you want to vote about how this country should be run, you should be a citizen of our country as well. Amendment 77, another gaming thing. And I know there's a lot of happy people that sports gambling has been legalized in Colorado. But Amendment 77, again, one of those things that it's like, really, is this? And it just seems so minute with everything else that's going on in 2020.
Right.
But it's allowing the people of Blackhawk, Central City, and Cripple Creek to determine what types of games are in their casinos and what the max bet is at those games.
Well, and you know, it's kind of interesting, too, because it seems like it's going back to those who are fundamentally opposed to the entire concept of gambling. Guess what? Gambling's here. It's not going anywhere. And ostensibly, it will allow the gaming tax revenue to benefit community colleges. So, okay. Fine. I got no problem with it.
Yep. I was in. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, who knows what kind of weird games they could come up with. So maybe my next trip up to Blackhawk, it might get interesting. But Gail, if you can bear with me for just a second, this kind of is taking me to this, because this is the first time that I've kind of paid attention to this. 2016, it was kind of big too. The live presidential betting odds.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of wanted to start with this because the betting odds had not moved. As of 6:30 this morning, Joe Biden was a favorite, sitting at -165, Donald Trump at +135, so the underdog. As we progress through the day, as we get going, it ended up being at one point that Joe Biden was such a heavy favorite as to be at -220. Gail, that's starting to change. And I know that this is a little, I don't know how much you can put into this. This is just a strange thing that I wanted to put out there. As of 6 o'clock, Donald Trump was just plus 100. He was the dog still, but money is rolling in on President Trump. I don't know what that says about America. I don't know what that says in terms of who's going to win this thing. But clearly, people out there are having renewed optimism for President Trump. So I thought that since we were talking about gaming, we could talk about the betting odds of who's going to win this presidential election.
Yeah, you got to love it because, I mean, it all matters. And who was it? There was some guy, I believe, in the UK that placed the largest bet. And I'm sorry, I'm doing this from memory.
Yeah.
Placed the largest bet in political history, betting $5 million. That President Trump would win the election. And I kind of went, it was kind of like a Scooby-Doo moment. And I said, wait a minute, what does he know that we don't? Which begs the question, what does President Trump know that we don't?
I'm not sure. But I think that it's fascinating to watch. And could it be an indicator? I think that it could. But who knows? Who knows? It's Decision 2020. I'm Tanner Schwint. Gail Fallon working in. We do have a new result here. This was one we expected, but we do have this finalized now. So it is, it is a District of Columbia. AP has just given to Joe Biden. So now, I know, such a shocker there. But hey, Gail, you know, I'm here to report the facts, okay?
That's right. Nothing but the facts, man.
That's right.
But yeah. Biden now leads 122-92. And again, Gail, for any, you know, anybody just joining us or who just got home and turned us on and watching these election results start to pile in, it's still incredibly early. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Are you concerned as a Republican about where Joe Biden currently sits?
No.
When I can get a one-word answer in 2020, I'm here for it.
I feel that we have been so spun throughout this political cycle. I mean, we were told, and it's shades of 2016 now, isn't it, Tanner? We were told, oh, the polling numbers, oh, that Trump didn't have a snowball's chance in a very warm place. And the polls were telling us that again this year. I find it absolutely fascinating. If you look at Arizona, Florida, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Minnesota, Texas, Wisconsin, well, for many of them, yes. I mean, they've only got like single digit returns in now, but for many of them, it's too close to call. Funny how that isn't the mainstream narrative we were fed.
Well, you can flip it from every single network on your TV, and you will have different numbers up there. And we talked about it. We were confusing the hell out of ourselves earlier.
That's right, we were.
When we were flipping it back and forth between these different different networks. Mm-hmm. And you look at it and go, oh, crap, or heck yes. And then you look at the amount per reporting, and then that kind of sits back and says, okay, let's slow her down a minute. Let's calm down for just a minute. We've still got a very, very long way to go.
Oh, absolutely we do. I mean, I'm particularly eyes on Florida, eyes on Georgia, of course, and watching Ohio, Pennsylvania going to be absolutely critical to President Trump's reelection bid.
Yeah, and those numbers are, at least in Florida, still looks to be trending towards President Trump. Currently, according to AP, leading by 3 points in Florida, I believe, Gail, and correct me if I'm wrong, President Trump won Florida just by 1.6% or something like that.
I'll tell you what. It was
2016.
Yes, razor's edge. I think it was, I'd have to double check it, but it was either, as you said, a point and a half, or it was even less than a point. You talk about a narrow victory in 2016 in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Gail Fallon, we're working through these different pieces of legislature on the ballot. Let's get through that real quick, and then we'll take a break and talk with Mike Freeman, Weld County Commissioner. He, of course, wins his election this year. And so we go to Prop 114. And Gail, I took an interesting approach to this. I saw reintroduction of wolves into Colorado, and I voted no because I'm terrified of wolves. But there's a lot. there's a lot of other reasons. There's a lot of other reasons that this is getting people
going against
it.
You come from a ranching background.
Right.
I mean, this is so bad. I mean, for agriculture across the state. But here's my question for you. And you know me, I kind of break things down to the simplest common denominator. Why would we reintroduce gray wolves to the state when they're already here?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Again, it was a pretty simple one for me, Gail. And I that one I'll be intrigued by. I would not be shocked if that wins, just based purely off the fact that people are like, ooh, I'd love to have wolves back in Colorado.
Or, oh, yeah, yeah. Or all, the voters down on the 16th Street Mall in Denver.
That's
that'd be great.
That's where we ought to release them.
Yeah. But, what about the ranchers, the farmers,
even
wildlife biologists saying this is categorically wrong?
Right. This isn't a good idea. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on Prop 114. 115 you touched on, that's prohibiting abortions after 22 weeks. I think that was a pretty straightforward one, too. And that one, Gail, though, the amount of money spent on this and the advertising for it, it was astronomical.
Oh, it certainly was. And you have to wonder how much out-of-state money was coming in to support that Proposition 115. Again, as you said, prohibiting abortions after 22 weeks, basically making Colorado an abortion destination.
But then we jump over to Prop 116, state income tax rate reduction. And again, I think that this one was pretty straightforward. I mean, it reads, shall there be a change to the Colorado revised statutes reducing the state income tax rate from 4.63% to 4.55%? You talked about, straightforward readings. That's one of them.
Mm-hmm. So how did you vote on that one?
I voted yes on that one, Gail.
Yeah, I voted no because I would rather just leave the money where it is.
Yeah, I'm pretty straightforward with that. If we can cut taxes, that always perks my ears up. So if I'm being honest there, another a little bit of a confusing one, and that's Prop 117. That's voter approval for certain new state enterprises. The wording on that one gets a little complex too, and for that reason, I would not be surprised if that one does not find a way to pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't disagree with you on that. Now, I did vote yes on that one. How about you?
Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. right there with you on that one.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
it was interesting. There was a couple that that I thought was interesting that early on in the readings. Like I talked about with the Gallagher Amendment, and what I thought was interesting on some of these. According to Ballotpedia.org, and that's I checked it there. I use a number of different things to before I fill in that little circle. I try and educate myself as best possible. What really caught my eye was the people for and the people against, specifically the Gallagher Amendment, because you had some big name Democrats, Jared Polis in favor of it. Pat Stryker donated nearly $2 million towards it, but you really didn't see the opposition from the Republicans on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But you know what? And I can't help but think, and I'm referencing President Trump here when he talks about lockdowns and COVID-19. Basically, I apply his logic to that repeal of the Gallagher Amendment. Seems to me that in this case, the way it was written, the way it is worded, well, it could be argued that Amendment B is one of those issues where the so-called cure is actually worse than the disease.
Yeah. Well, Gail, that is what's on the state ballot. We'll be updating on those throughout the evening. It's Decision 2020. Let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, Weld County Commissioner Chairman and, still Weld County Commissioner Mike Freeman will be joining us. Decision 2020 here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Of the 2020 election on 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
7:40 on Election Tuesday. Welcome into Decision 2020. I am Tanner Schwint. Gail Fallon, Mornings with Gail host, joining me as well. We'll continue to keep you updated on some of these, the bigger results as they come in, and continue to update you. We're efforting to start to get these Weld County votes in as well. But, well, one of the surefire winners of this election 2020. He is your Weld County Commissioner Chairman already. That is Commissioner Mike Freeman. He will be winning re-election. Commissioner Freeman, congratulations. I know it wasn't a big surprise tonight. There wasn't close poll watching, but hey, a win's a win, as they say in the sports world.
Absolutely, Tanner. Yeah. I'm honored once again to have the support of the citizens of Weld County to give me an opportunity for a third term as County Commissioner in Weld County. Look forward to four more years.
Well, Commissioner, I know that we've talked on NOCO Now. We've talked on various programs here on KFKA. Obviously, 2020 has not been an ideal year for elections. It hasn't been an ideal year for really a whole lot, but what was different about trying to balance your role as the Weld County Commissioner, Chairman in 2020, and running an election campaign?
Well, I mean, 2020 is a year that I don't think any of us ever expected or ever knew how to deal with what happened in 2020. You know, it feels like the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 months seems like 6 or 7 years, right? Trying to navigate through the election process was completely different. We weren't able to go out and do the things that we normally did, even through the primary process, because of COVID. So, you know, I guess it is what it is. At the end of the day, you just kind of you deal with it and move on. And as we move forward into this thing, you know, as we continue to see cases go up a little bit, but at the end, here's the thing. Hospitalizations have not changed a heck of a lot, right? I mean, we're looking at 50% total hospitalizations, and fatalities are pretty normal. And we are not going to shut down businesses going forward. If that's what the governor decides to do, he's going to have a heck of a lot of pushback in Weld County. The economy matters a lot.
Well, Commissioner, I know that you mentioned the governor, and you mentioned some of the disagreements that you've had with the governor and some of the other decision makers down in Denver. The state does go blue this year, and with the state now, according to AP Press, going to Joe Biden. We've also seen that the race has been called early on for John Hickenlooper over Cory Gardner as well. Commissioner, your thoughts on a couple of those results early in the election evening?
Well, I guess I'm not really surprised on the Biden race in Colorado. I'm really disappointed in the Cory race. Cory Gardner has been an amazing representative for the state of Colorado. I find it interesting that when John Hickenlooper decided to run for president, he had no support whatsoever from this state. And then when he decides to run for senator, which is a position he said he had no interest in doing, the state's still going to go ahead and put him in. I think it tells you how blue this state has turned. I hate that that's happened. I hate that for the state of Colorado. It's not where I think 90% of the area of Colorado believes. Unfortunately, that's where the population area is, in Denver and Boulder. And so I guess we're just philosophically different from Denver and Boulder. And somehow the state of Colorado is going to have to figure out how to deal with this. And I think it continues to add to the urban-rural divide in this state.
We're talking with Weld County Commissioner Chairman Mike Freeman as he is reelected and will continue on his role as a Weld County Commissioner of District 1. And Commissioner, what would you say to the people out there right now, especially in Weld County, seeing some of those early results come in? They're about exact opposite of the rest of the state. What would you say to them as you continue your, you know, for lack of a better term, fight against, you know, the Boulders and the Denvers of Colorado?
Well, you know, I think I, God, you know what, Tanner? I think it's unfortunate. I think that I think we're going to see the true impact of this in a couple of years, when they realize the impact that they're having on rural Colorado and the amount of economic impact that has statewide with what they're doing as far as, you know, the attack on oil and gas, the attack on agriculture, which is most of this state. So I think we just continue to push back as hard as we can. We're going to continue to fight for what matters for the citizens of Weld County. And that's what I'm going to do for the next 4 years. I'm going to stand up for what matters for Weld County, because that's who I represent, and that's what's important to me.
Weld County Commissioner Chairman Mike Freeman winning re-election. Commissioner, any final thoughts from you tonight? I know you'll be watching some of these other races as they unfold, not just in Weld County, but across northern Colorado and in the nation.
Well, I think the good news is that things look pretty positive right now, with early results coming in, that we have a real opportunity for President Trump to actually win re-election again, which I think is extremely important to the country. And I think that there's still a very good possibility that Republicans hang on to the Senate, and I think that's really important, because I don't think the majority of this country is ready to move to become a socialist country, and that's where they're at on the other side of this thing. So, you know what? We'll just continue to fight the battle and hope for the best. And once again, I just want to thank everybody and for their huge amount of support for me over the years. And I'm going to continue to fight for Weld County. I can't change what happens in the rest of the state. I can't change what happens across the country. But I can darn sure stand up for Weld County, and I will do that just like I've done for the last 8 years, and we'll do for the next four.
Commissioner, thank you so much for your time. Go enjoy your evening, and we'll be talking with you very soon. Congrats again, and thanks for what you've done for Weld County, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Tanner.
Thanks. That is Weld County Commissioner Chairman Mike Freeman. That was one of the results that I did announce during that conversation there. The AP has officially given Colorado all 9 electoral votes to former Vice President Joe Biden, now up 131-92 in the official polls. We go back to Gail Fallon, Mornings with Gail, joining us. Gail, that wasn't really a surprise either. So still no surprises as we wait for more votes to get tallied in some of those swing states.
No, absolutely. And those all important swing states, of course, will make the difference, particularly when you look at, some of these lesser known counties in Pennsylvania, among them Bradford County. And people are like, wait, what? Because we're not talking about the T zone in Pennsylvania. We're not talking necessarily about Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, but it's these smaller counties that are really going to make the difference. But I think for my money, when I look at North Carolina, and it is neck and neck in North Carolina when you look at those numbers coming out. That's the one that has kind of caught me off guard just a little bit. I didn't expect it to be that tight in North Carolina. Colorado? No, we pretty much saw the writing on the wall.
Right, we did. And Gail, some of these Weld County results coming in too. I know we'll go over these a little bit later on, yep. But did get this pulled up here. Donald Trump won Weld County for what it matters.
Shocker, yeah, just like he did in 2016.
Right, 60% of Weld County going in that direction as well. Cory Gardner, again, not a big surprise. He wins Weld County. I know he lost overall, but Gail, 61.76% for Cory Gardner, 36.16%. Is that margin a little closer to you than what you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, it actually is, to be honest with you. And yeah, I'm working my way down through this list as well. A little closer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I that was that surprised me too, and I know that I guess now Senator Hickenlooper, he spent a lot of money up here, and he was hitting every front that he could, and he made a concerted effort in Weld County, and I think that was an area that, you know, obviously that's not what costs Cory Gardner this race. There was a lot of other things that went into it, but I think you know, maybe looking at this, to me, it looks like Gardner may have thought that he had a stronger hold in Weld County and some of these other rural communities than he really did.
I guess I just never understood the appeal of John Hickenlooper.
And that makes two of us.
Yeah, as Commissioner Freeman so eloquently said this evening, you knew I had to do it at least once. That's such is a lot of being a morning show host.
Right.
But, didn't understand the appeal, but as a as Commissioner Mike Freeman said there, we'll put it back on the rails. This is someone who said he did not want to be a senator from the get-go. It wasn't his thing. But when running for president was no longer an option, well, all of a sudden running for that seat became very appealing to John Hickenlooper. And I just don't understand the appeal in such a turnaround in his feelings about being a senator.
I don't understand it either, Gail, but it worked for him. It did. So
obviously.
Yeah, obviously, in a big way. I tell you what, let's take a break here in Decision 2020. We'll come back on the other side. There's some other races here in Weld County that we will be able to get to. We'll dive into that when we come back on the other side. Gail Fallon, I am Tanner Schwint. Decision 2020 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. You're listening to coverage of the 2020 election on 1310 KFKA.
Now the time. Decision 2020. I'm Tanner Schwint, host of NoCo Now. Mornings with Gail host Gail Fallon joining me. Gail, I know we're going to be talking with Weld County Clerk and Recorder Carly Coppice coming up in a bit, but wanted to talk about a couple of states that big time starting to look good so far for incumbent President Donald Trump.
Yeah, we were talking about Georgia and Florida. I mean, key states to the president's reelection bid, along with, well, the other biggies. You've got Pennsylvania, you've got Ohio, Arizona, Michigan, Minnesota. The list goes on and on and on. By the way, Trump did win South Carolina, and Senator Lindsey Graham has retained his Senate seat. So there's some good news there. As earlier, Mitch McConnell has retained his Senate seat as well.
Yeah, so far, we talked about it coming into the evening. The Democrats needed to flip four seats to take the Senate. They have flipped one so far, that being Colorado Senator seat, and with Cory Gardner losing to John Hickenlooper. Just a couple of quick things. And again, these are not finalized. Coming from 9 News, Prop 113 leading 52%. To 48%. Prop 114, well, that's split right down the middle, 50-50 as of now. Prop 115, that's the 22-week abortion ban, that is no, 59% to 41%. Gail, another one, I know you've had this person on your program a couple of times. That's Lauren Boebert for U.S. House District 3. She's
the pistol-packing mama from Rifle runs Shooter's Grill. This is a race to watch.
It is. And she's leading so far by 50 to 47% over Diane Bush, the Democrat there for U.S. House District 3. So that's the latest update. Gail, we got just about a minute. Any final first hour thoughts here?
Well, you know, we knew that this was a very, very hard-fought election, drawing a lot of attention. Colorado Secretary of State said the voter turnout has not only surpassed the amount of votes cast in 2016, but nearly 80% of all ballots had been returned by active voters, with just hours remaining until the polls closed. As of noon today, 3,003,907 ballots had been returned for a turnout rate, we were just shy of 79.5%. Pretty impressive.
It is, and voter turnout up all over the state. Gail Fallon, host of Mornings with Gail. I'm Tanner Schwint. We have hour number two coming your way. We'll talk with Weld County Clerk and Recorder Carly Kappas. Keep you updated as these numbers roll in. Decision 2020. Keep it here. Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. We'll be right back.